And in the covenants we have together, in the spirit of pulling different threads together, maybe we could use a Gemara in the first Berakah of Bava Basra to solve a Va'era mystery that may have personal, immediate resonance for us here and now also. One of the questions that Rishonim deal with, when we learn Chumash, so we typically learn Chumash Sedra by Sedra. I understand there was recent conversation about Shai Mikra Vechatargum, which is an ancient expectation. The first Yomi was before Daf Yomi and Mishnah Yomis was Chumash Shavui. Chazal expect that we're going to learn Chumash on a weekly basis. And that, as Ramban himself points out in his Akdama, sort of also shapes the way in which we think about Chumash. We think about Chumash in units of, the Sedra of Shmos and the Sedra of Eira and so on and so forth. Rashi sometimes, especially in Chumash Bamidbar, will alert us to the fact that those breaks aren't really in the Chumash themselves, and you have to figure out how's the end of Shlach relate to the beginning of Korach, and so on and so forth. So there's also a little bit of a Shmos Va'era disconnect that the Rishonim point out, which is you open up Va'era, the Kadosh Baruch Hu charges Moshe Rabbeinu once again, go back, get back to work. You have messages to deliver, and Moshe Rabbeinu shows up to Klal Yisrael, v'lo shamu al Moshe, mikotzer ruach me'avod akasha. And Klal Yisrael, they couldn't even listen. They were short of breath. They were working so hard. They couldn't hear it. And the Rishonim are bothered. It's really, in a certain sense, Ramban Kedarko gives an answer to asking the question. And the question really is, at the end of Shmos, which was just a couple of psukim earlier, the last time Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the Jewish people, they were all in. They embraced everything Moshe Rabbeinu had to say. What changed? All of a sudden there's Kotzer Ruach. All of a sudden there's Avodah Kasha. What happened from the end of Shmos to the beginning of Eirum? So the Ramban seems to already say that what happened is Tichbad Avodah La'am. What happened is that after Moshe Rabbeinu showed up the first time, Klal Yisrael had vigorously embraced what he had to say. Paro gave him an icy response, and Paro turned the screws on the Jewish people. Tichbad Avod Olam, they're going to have to work harder. Rather, the Mesilas Yeshayahu, that you've seen this, Mesilas Yeshayahu, when he speaks vividly about the first step in the methodical growth of a Jew is to become a thought-out person, to live contemplatively, to live with zahirus, to live life with your mind and drive. So he says that's paro. Paro at the end. There's a little bit of paro inside each of us. If you have time to think, so then you can grow. So paro says, let's just make sure you don't, we can make you so busy. You're going to be delivering, you're going to search for your kash, whatever it is. You're just not going to have time to think. So the Rabban says, and that's what happens here. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes back again. It's Kotzer Ruach, there's Avodah Kasha. Ron says they just couldn't catch their breath. Moshe, power was working them so hard, at this point they don't have the headspace to take in the message that they had previously embraced. Rabbi Yaakov Kanemetsky understands that there's an added layer here, which relates to the second half of what power had said. Tichbar Avodah La'am, Parot said in the Shmos, "Val Yishu b'divrei shaker." They're too busy with their false ideas, false words. What are these false words and false ideas? Tal Pshuto, it means that Moshe Rabbeinu was talking about freedom. Moshe Rabbeinu was talking about liberty, and Parot was a dictator who'll have none of this, and he's canceling those ideas. There is a Shmos Rabba on that pasuk, though, at the end of Shmos. Understands that these divrei shaker weren't merely the words that Moshe was speaking about, but it was actually something that was b'chsav. They're texts that that Paro is responding to. And the Shmos Rabba speaks about the texts that the Jewish people had the opportunity to enjoy on Shabbos, and their Shabbos reading, their Shabbos learning is going to be taken away from them, the Medrash says. Yishu b'divrei shaker, at that point, Paro cancels the Jewish people's off day on Shabbos. Paro, what happens is not only there's a higher workload, they need to more steps of logistics that the Jews are responsible for, but they're losing their off Shabbos. Of course, that raises this tantalizing mystery. What are these Megillos exactly? What was in the Jews' Shabbos reading in Mitzrayim? What were they reading? And is there a line in the first parak of Bava Basra that could help us with that? What did the Jews read in Mitzrayim? Is there a Beferish or Rashi in the first parak of Bava Basra? Yov. Interesting. Let me ask you another question. Good. I like that. Come back to that. Let me ask you another question, which might seem at first entirely unrelated. Because speaking of Shabbos, right, the Medrash understands there's a Shabbos connection. So there's a parak of Tehillim that either is totally related to Shabbos, is totally unrelated to Shabbos. Which parak of Tehillim is more related to Shabbos than any other parak of Tehillim? Mishnah Yom HaShabbos. Can anyone tell me why it's related to Shabbos? Great, and beyond the first pasuk. Did you ever ask yourself, what does Mishnah Yom HaShabbos have to do with the Sabbath? Beyond the first pasuk, again, is pretty obvious. And you have that Mishnah and Talmud that we say at the end of davening Shabbos morning, that was the Shir Shalom for Shabbos. And that just intensifies the question that beyond the first pasuk talks about Tzadik Viralo, Tzadik HaTamar Yifrach. You know, you wonder, you look around, and the Rishonim seem to be doing well, but in the long run, things make sense, which is beautiful and profoundly important machshava. But what does theodicy have to do with Shabbos? What do? Are we more troubled by Tzadik Viralo on Shabbos than on Tuesday? Why is this a Shabbos? There's so many ideas that have to do with Shabbos. You would have expected, Mitzvah Shiyam HaShabbos has to do with Brias Olam, Zeichel Maaseh Bereishis, Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. There are many Shabbos themes. None of them seem to be present in Mitzvah Shiyam HaShabbos. What Mitzvah Shiyam HaShabbos is about doesn't seem like it's a Shabbos theme. And you also might be wondering, where's Cohen going? We were just talking about what's going on Mitzrayim with the Megillos, and now all of a sudden you're talking about a Mizmar. And do you know anything about this Mizmar from the first parak of Bava Basra? What do you know about this Mizmar from Rashi? If you open up, if you're looking for, in the first parak of Bava Basra, obviously we're thinking about Tanakh and about Eov. We're looking at the sugi of the canonization of Sifrei Tanakh, and that is here in Daf Yudal and Daf Tazvav. Gemara talks about who wrote which sefer and how they're organized. Who wrote Tehillim? Who wrote Tehillim? Right? For many people, including Moshe Rabbeinu. At the very, very bottom of Yudal and Beis, David cuts the sefer Tehillim, Ayadei Asar Zakenim. David Melch, a lot of sefer Tehillim is from David Melch, but there's many, many Mizmorim. They're identified as being from other earlier tzaddikim. Among them is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu and Haman, Yedusin, Asaf. Many of us have been saying a Mizmor L'Asaf. We say another Mizmor L'Asaf every week. Where do you see Moshe Rabbeinu? So the psukim are explicit. Well, Perek Tzadi is Tfilo L'Moshe. But Rashi says, Tfilo L'Moshe v'chol achad asar Mizmorim kisidron. From Tzadi all the way till Kuf are all from Moshe Rabbeinu. All the way through Mizmor L'Soda. Which means, who wrote Mizmor Shiyam HaShabbos? According to that Rashi, Moshe Rabbeinu. Mizmor Tzadi Beis. Who wrote the bulk of Kabbalah Shabbos? Chun Aran El Hashem? Moshe Rabbeinu. That's all in that section. When did Moshe Rabbeinu write L'chun Aran El Hashem? Arboim Shana Kut Bador. Asher Nishbati V'yapi. So Yaakov points out that parak obviously is written towards the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, after they had been in the Midbar, after the Gzeira, after Masam Riva, and so on and so forth. When did Moshe Rabbeinu write Mizmor L'Soda? At a point in his life when there's lots to be thankful for, and there was loads to be thankful for. The original Shira of Klal Yisrael is Az Yashir, led by Moshe Rabbeinu. But when would Moshe Rabbeinu have written a mizmor that grapples with Tzadik V'Ralo? Midbar? Probably not. In the Midbar, they had experienced incredible chassadim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was enormous clarity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given them so much, and they also saw in the Midbar that when they sinned, so then they were punished. There's no the question of Tzadik V'Ralo there. Things made a lot of sense. They may not have been very happy about how things worked out. They weren't troubled by, why am I such a good person and I'm suffering so much? When would Moshe Rabbeinu have written Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos? At what point in his life? At what point in his career? What did he say? Probably earlier. That was probably, Yaakov suggests, that was back in the Mitzrayim days. That was back in the Mitzrayim days. You mentioned before that there's a machlokas exactly when Eov lived and who wrote Eov. And if Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Eov, so it means not only did he write a parak of Tillim, one of his 11 prakim, is about the question of Tzadik V'Ralo, he also wrote a full sefer about Tzadik V'Ralo. But why would Moshe Rabbeinu be spending so much time, investing so much energy into producing for the question, producing Svarim for the question of Tzadik V'Ralo? So the answer is, probably, it was during the Mitzrayim days. This may even have been, perhaps, Rabbi Yaakov's grandson in the footnotes in Emes Yaakov, quotes from Azariah de Rossi, Rabbeinu Azariah min Hadumim. He found some old manuscript that tells about Moshe Rabbeinu sending this. This is the original correspondence course. Moshe Rabbeinu was writing in Midian and sending it off, mailing it off to Mitzrayim. And this was for the Jews to work on and think about and learn. And these were the Megillos that they were learning in Mitzrayim. On, that's what Yaakov suggests. What were these Megillos that they were busy with on Shabbos? Mistama, if you put all the pieces together, they were learning what Moshe Rabbeinu had written for them to learn. This was the burning sugya Mitzrayim. Rebbeinu Amakula, what did we do wrong? We look around to the Mitzrayim. They're greater Rishon than we are. That's exactly what Mitzvah Shem HaShabbos is all about. That's exactly what Yiv is all about. Rebbeinu Amakula, we're Bnei Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, and look how downtrodden we are. And look at these ferocious Mitzrayim. And so they had a chance on Shabbos to work on the sugya. That's what they, and that was Megillos Heshtashu Behem. Not Stam, that was Geshmak to learn. I mean, this gave them Menuchas HaNefesh. It gave them perspective beyond the here and now. It doesn't make sense, but here's how I could begin to piece together. I could begin to make sense of why am I here and why is life like this and where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu and all this and where am I and all this. Tzadik V'Ralo, that was the sugya of the time. Then you understand also now, plug it all back in. So then, Mikotze Ruach Me'avoda Kasha, V'lo Shamu Al Moshe Mikotze Ruach Me'avoda Kasha. It wasn't just that physically they were just so drained. They could barely catch their breath, and they were physically broken. There was just no headspace for anything beyond their survival. It may be true, especially for the sociologists in the room, you're thinking about a particular pyramid. But it's more than that also. They were deprived of their spiritual nutrition because they had lost Shabbos. And in losing Shabbos, they had lost the chance to think about these ideas and make sense. But when Paro's Al Yeshuva Devei Shaka didn't just mean don't listen to Moshe Rabbeinu's Drasha. It meant I don't want you to read those Svarim. I don't want you to have the time to put things together and to think. And when they lost the chance to think, so then they were broken. And they were broken and they couldn't hear Moshe Rabbeinu. They lost their Shabbos, Avodah Kasha. And they lost the headspace and the learning and the thinking and the deep machshava that came with that. That was a different sense of kotzer ruach. And it captures, come back to where it began, the importance of Zahiris. It captures the importance of carving out time to think. Captures the importance of carving out time to make sense of things. And there needs to be, in a growing Jew's day, in a growing Jew's week, there needs to be So a lot of Baruch Hashem avodah and learning, a lot of processing of sugyos, and a lot of working through cheskes about them. And there needs to be a time, once a week, if not once a day, when I stop to make sense of things. And stop to try to understand what and why. And when I stop, as Yaakov points out, not just to breathe, but to learn Sifrei Machshava. Whether it's Tehillim, Tzadi Beis, and Iyov, or it'll be a more recent Sifrei Machshava. But to have the time, to part of building myself, needs to be to expand. We have such a rich array of wealth from Gedolei Yisrael, Rishonim, Achronim, going back to Sifrei Tanach, and going back to Avos. But such a rich masora of Sifrei Machshava that I need to carve out the time, at least on Shabbos, to sit with Svarim and to deepen myself, and deepen my thinking. It gives me the tools to begin to make greater sense of what's often a confusing world. Thank you so much. You should continue to shtay, you should continue to grow, you should continue to work hard, continue to enjoy enormous haslacha. That's enough.